Just looked at phone lines. They're all busy for Bob Bertug. He's with Bertug Landscape Company in Wheeling. Bob, welcome back to the show. Thanks for giving us some of your time and expertise.
Hi, John. How are you?
What do you think of my planting some grass seed yesterday?
Well, you said it yourself. You're wasting some money. And it's probably going to get washed away today anyway with the rain that's coming.
Yeah.
Not to spoil your day.
Yeah. Well, but you can't get sod anywhere, Bob. It's like...
Sure you can.
I went to the Home Depot or Big Lots or I don't know where we were, some parking lot, and they had a stack of rolls of yellow, dry sod sitting there.
Yeah, you got to get it when it's freshly cut.
Well, good luck to me on that. Where do I really... So yellow, I thought, well, maybe it'll come back to life. I'll coax it. No?
No, it gets moldy and stuff, too, when it stays rolled up too long.
It smelled moldy. Well, so I didn't buy that. Props to me. But then where do I buy good fresh sod?
You're going to do better at a local garden center than you are at Home Depot or the big box.
Well, would you believe me if I told you that some of them just aren't carrying it because it's been so dry, people don't want it, and they don't want to hold it and then have it go bad?
I would believe that for sure.
Yeah. So will you get me some sod?
I could do that if you want.
312. Do you do that kind of work? I mean, do you do businesses and golf courses, or do you do residences?
No golf courses. We do have some residential that have a putting green in their backyard, but no golf course work, and we do residential and commercial.
Yeah, okay. What's a typical job for you? What do people hire you for?
Well, maintenance is our bread and butter, but then we do a lot of design-build work, too, where we design it, and then we build it, and then we maintain it.
Hmm. How do I... Ready for some questions?
Sure.
312-981-7200. By the way, Bob, so then I was thinking, all right, I'll roll some sod out. And I thought, I've asked you this before. Should I put fertilizer under that sod as I'm rolling it on? I mean, that would get it directly to the source, right? Would that be a good idea?
Yes. There is a sod starter fertilizer you can use. You don't want to get something where that first number is too high. Like, I wouldn't put anything where the first number is higher than 10 or 14.
Okay. Some sod... fertilizer starter stuff, huh? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And do I care what kind of soil I'm putting down? Like, I got some dirt and splash it around.
You said dirt again. Soil.
That's right. I can't believe that you people think that brown stuff of that the earth is made of is called soil and not dirt. Okay, so I got some dirt. Soil. Does it matter what kind of soil I have that I'm spreading around there?
Well, you could have it tested, but that's kind of overkill. Usually, when you get pulverized topsoil, it's coming from a farm. The fields are being stripped. So it's usually pretty decent soil that came from a farm. But you want to make sure you till up what's existing there. If you roll sod over a hard dirt, as you say, hard soil, the roots are not going to pierce through there and knit in. So you want to till it up, 3, 4, 6 inches, and get it nice and soft and rake it level, and then roll your sod up.
312-981-7200. Karen has a question for Bob Bertug. Karen, what can we do for you?
Oh, hello. We removed a tree in our backyard about 3 years ago, maybe four. And last year in the fall, we had mushrooms coming up. So I was wondering how you get rid of mushrooms.
9-iron or a pitching wedge. There's really nothing you can do. It's actually a good sign. That means that it's the tree that's decaying, but that's organic matter in the soil, and the mushrooms are a good sign. There's really nothing you can do. It's going to take a while before those roots completely decompose.
In theory, when you remove the tree, if you'd gone down and pulled out every root, every vestige of the tree itself, that's what these mushrooms are feeding off of, right, Bob?
Correct.
No, but you're not going to dig up the yard just to get them out. So you're going to have to live with... And there's nothing to spray? There's no fungicide or something you put down to keep them from growing, Bob?
None that I'm aware of.
Okay. Sorry about that, Karen. That's the best we can do today. Let's go to Pete. You're on WGN. Oh. Hey, Pete, you're on the air.
Hi. I've got a miniature crabapple tree. It splits at the main trunk, and one side is dying on me.
You want to know if you can save the tree?
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Bob?
If it's completely dead, you can prune it off and just have a half a tree. I'm not sure how that's going to look aesthetically, but Maybe the thing you want to try and figure out is why is the one side dying? Did it crack? Is it cracked at the bottom where it's not getting nutrients? If it's a disease, if it's only one side, the odds are that it's not a disease. It's probably something mechanical happened to it, or you know, structurally that damaged.
How about the heat? Could the heat have done? Because that's when it started to go.
Well, a plant's natural mechanism is to defoliate itself. Like especially birch trees right now, you see birches shedding. That's just their way of saying, "Hey, I can't feed all these leaves, so I'm going to drop some of you." But again, that would be the whole plant. It wouldn't just be one half of it.
Right. Similarly, if the tree was diseased, you'd see it on both sides. So it does sound like something mechanical,
yeah.
Right?
Right.
I've got a maple tree that's starting to, it's got some red-orange leaves on it. Not a lot, but a little bit. That's not a sign that the tree is ill, but maybe just the distress you're talking about, Bob?
It could be. It depends if it's the whole tree or if it's flagging in one section. Maples have a tendency to get girdling roots, and it depends on what type of maple that it is. Which, again, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. You want to be able to see the root flare at the base of that tree. If you can't, it's possible that you have some girdling roots that are strangling the tree.
I see. And those roots correspond to certain leaves or parts of the tree?
Yeah, it's because if they're just on the one side of the tree, it's just cutting off that vascular tissue on that side of the tree. So if it's flagging just on one side, it could be that. If the whole tree is defoliating or changing color now, it could be just distress from the heat.
Yeah, right. I never thought about, though, the root ball or the roots correspond to different branches or parts of the tree. I thought it was all for one and one for all. But if I see it on one part, then maybe that was where the tree's girdle was a little tight, if you know what I mean.
Exactly.
Okay. Ready for more calls, Bob?
Sure.
Okie dokie. Let's go to Bob on line 3. Bob, what can we do for you? You're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for accepting my call.
Sure.
It's called Bermuda grass. I've tried everything on this, including Pylox. You ever heard of that? It's like $250 for 4 ounces.
Wow.
You only use one ml per gallon. It's not that bad. But I'll tell you what, I know the Bears want to put this in their football field. If they want to come over and dig up my yard and put it out there, I'm game, but I'd like to have a bluegrass to return. So anyway, you can put Roundup down and kill it, but then somehow or another, the other that you don't hit will come back. So have you had any experience with Bermuda grass? I do take a walk in the mornings, and it's quite prevalent in this area. We're in southwest Michigan.
Okay, hold on. Let me let Bobby jump in here. Bob, go ahead.
I do not have a lot of experience with Bermuda grass, and I didn't catch the name of that chemical he said to try and knock it out. But I would think a non-selective herbicide, again, though, like we talked about the Creeping Charlie, you're going to have to hit it and then hit it again while it's down.
What was the name of that?
Like
what was that expensive stuff you bought, Bob?
Yeah, Pylox. P-Y-L-O-X, I believe.
Pylox.
I've never heard of it.
But are you telling us, Bob, that it didn't work? That it, after all of that, it still doesn't do the job?
It kind of suppresses it, but then it comes back. I mean, it's like, it is really tough.
Yeah, well, you know, like Bob said, this is kind of a theme. A lot of those products, you think, I used it, why did this stuff come back? You're a big advocate of knock it down and then knock it again when it starts to come back, right, Bob?
Yes. Okay. Don't give it a chance to come back. You want to hit it while it's down.
You know, I was talking, Bob, good luck, thanks for the call. You know those little nubs that come up from the trees, the roots, and sometimes around the perimeter of a tree? And you said mechanical eradication, you just kind of got to cut them back. Somebody told me that when you do that, and then they start to come up again, that's when you hit it with Roundup. It won't kill the tree, but it might just seal that spot where it's been popping up. Does that make sense to you, Bob?
I disagree with that. The method of doing that, because you have to remember that those seedlings that you're seeing that you just cut off, they're attached to the roots of the main tree.
Yeah, all right.
And you don't want that to translocate into the tree.
Right into the tree. That's bad for the tree. What about this, Bob? Somebody also told me when you're growing grass from seed and then you stress out because here comes some weeds, they said don't fight all of those weeds. They're holding the soil in place, and that's just growth, and it's green, and then at the end of the season, put a weed killer down, or the next season, but don't kill everything just to kill the weeds. Let them fight it out, and then the next year the grass will fill in, and, you know, it's kind of a process. In general, what do you make of all of that? Don't worry about the weeds.
You described it perfectly. The grass, the best weed eliminator is a strong stand of turf, because the weeds won't come pop. You know, an occasional one might pop up in there, but they have a really hard time coming up through a good stand of turf. So you're right. Let the grass get established. Sure, there's going to be some weeds. After a couple of months, you can eradicate the weeds with a selective herbicide. Then it's not that big of a deal. But let that grass get established before you panic. And like you said, you're going to do more harm than good if you spray with a herbicide. It's going to take those little seedlings with it.
Hey, Bob, I have a tent set up in my backyard. Should I put their flooring down, or would the lawn be better without it? It's really expensive.
It depends how long it's going to be on the ground for. If it's a week or so, the grass will bounce back. And if it's too expensive, then if you have a nice level turf, then you're fine. But if it's for a party or for a wedding or something, you don't want people twisting your ankles and walking on grass.
Yeah, right.
That's why they want you to put the floor in.
So put the floor in. It's really expensive, but it's not going to kill the lawn if it's down for a week or so.
Correct.
Hey, Bob, I have a 6-year-old plum tree that is covered with blackish, hard pods. If I cut the tree shorter, can it come back? Thanks.
It will sucker again, but it's called black knot. It's a disease. And when the plum trees get it, those plum trees have a limited shelf life, and they're not going to last forever. But if you want to take the time to prune it out, sure, it'll get new growth.
I have a 16-by-30-foot space with all weeds. I would like to transform it into a flower garden. How much time after I put down weed killer can I start planting flowers?
It depends on which chemical you're using, but typically it's 2 weeks.
Okay. And if you're planting flowers, is it like grass, too late to plant flowers for this year?
No, you can, as long as you water them, the perennials, if they're out of the ground right now. If you go to a garden center and see something out of the ground and you buy it, it's going to prefer to be in the ground. So go ahead and plant it.
I have a neighbor's tree root growing under my patio. Can I dig down and cut those roots, and would it hurt his tree?
The answer is yes, you can, and the other answer is it could. I don't know. It depends how close you are to the main trunk and what type of tree it is. Like if it's an oak tree and you're cutting a major root on it, yeah, you could damage the tree. But legally, you have every right to cut that root.
I'm going to guess that it's fanned out in a lot of different areas, and that one root isn't going to kill the tree. If it's an old enough or mature enough tree, it'll probably survive that, right?
You're probably right, yes.
Yeah. This one says, how do I kill my neighbor's cottonwood tree?
Okay. This is getting to be routine. I know nobody's doing that every week. I know you have that on the top of your stack.
Dale, you're on WGN Radio. What can we do for you, Dale?
Yes, I have some arborvitaes, and I have a problem with bagworms. Is it too late to spray, or because it looks like they're still fading?
What kind of worms are those?
They're bagworms.
Bagworms.
Okay, hold on. What do you say, Bob?
Well, the thing about bagworms, if you can treat them, but you want to actually make sure you get the insecticide inside the bag. That's the whole purpose. That's their mechanism for protection. If it's not going to take a big chunk of a branch off of it, it's best to just prune it out and then dispose of them.
Okay.
If you have access to it.
Yeah, okay. Good luck to you on that, Dale. We're out of time today. We'll get to more of your questions on the phone line and texting 312-981-7200 for Bob Bertog next week. Bob, you're always very helpful. Thanks for your thoughts today.
Thanks, John. Have a great week.